The Holy Gospel comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Sisters and brothers, grace and peace to you from Jesus, the one who is beloved and who makes us beloved. Amen. Well, late last summer, a very special occasion landed while my immediate family was all together at my parents' new cabin in Michigan. The occasion was the birthday of our firstborn dog, Beckman, no relation to Ron and Linda. Like all Hollenbeck birthday parties, Beckman's festivities included a photo shoot with the cake. Yes, there was a cake, but of course it was for us. Thanks to some heroic wrangling efforts, we came up with a photographic gem, a picture of a clueless puppy and, one could argue, his equally clueless owners. And I promise I didn't scheme with Catherine for this photo. There it is. Well, like any good millennial, I pulled out my iPhone and I posted the picture on Facebook, along with the caption, "We've become those people." Our evening at the lake continued. We had some good laughs at ourselves, we gave the poor little dog a treat while we ate his birthday cake, and we settled back in for the night. After 10 minutes or so, I opened the Facebook app on my phone and I clicked on the notifications tab. 25 people recently liked your photo, it said. Wow, I thought. I mean, I thought the picture was cute, but 25 likes in 10 minutes? The red one icon on the notifications tab kept popping up. 30 people recently liked your photo, it said. As the likes kept coming, I couldn't help but track my tally of admirers. After an hour or so, the total climbed from 50 to 70 to 90 and so on. Despite all my training in Lutheran humility, I started feeling pretty great about myself. We had thrown a paper hat on our dog, and the people were loving it. The people were loving us. When all was said and done, 169 people liked the picture. Well, as the hours passed, evening turned to night, night turned to morning, and the admiration started to fade. The once exponential rate of likes eventually slowed to a stop. Our friends and family had moved on to the next pet portrait or Star Wars meme or toddler dance video. Our prized photograph was buried on their news feeds, never to be revisited or applauded again. And there we were, still wrangling a squirrely puppy who was never even aware of his 15 minutes of Facebook fame. Our fame was gone, the people had forgotten about the paper hat, and eventually I realized that Beckman's photo had garnered more likes than the picture I posted after we finished walking 520 miles across Spain. In case I needed any more of an identity crisis, there it was. My dog had more Facebook fans than I did. Social media has brought us to an age of instant gratification and instant affirmation unlike any we've known. Of course, at its best, social media connects us to loved ones near and far, but at its worst, it can pretty well mess with our sense of identity. It can fabricate affirmation just as quickly as it can induce rejection. We've all heard heartbreaking stories of online bullying, especially among youth. Even on milder levels, a great photo eventually falls off the radar. And for all the photos we're eager to share, there are sometimes harder stories we are not telling. Or there's a deeper, more enduring affirmation we're seeking. Perhaps someone telling us we are seen and known and loved. Because sometimes the news feeds tell us everything but that we are loved. And the news feeds, of course, are a microcosm of the voices in the media and closer to home, maybe even voices in our own heads, saying we are not worthy. We fall short of I am beloved status. Today we remember our baptism. We remember the ongoing effects of a one-time event, that moment when God called us beloved and then invited us into a lifetime of belovedness with God. Our gospel reading from Matthew brings us to the moment of Jesus' own baptism. It's a story that's raised questions from Bible readers over the centuries. If baptism is the forgiveness of sins, why does Jesus need it? I know I need to be baptized, but why Jesus? Wasn't he a sinless human? Well, the story doesn't necessarily answer that question, but John the Baptizer does seem to wonder the same thing. When Jesus tells John to baptize him, John refuses. Me? Baptize you? He asks. That's not how this goes, John says. After all, just before the story, John tells the crowds gathered around him that he is not the one they're waiting for. He says another one is coming, and John himself isn't even worthy to carry his shoes. So no, John says, I won't baptize you. I am not worthy. Baptism is your job now. But Jesus insists. This is how this goes, Jesus says. This is the story, the big sweeping story. I'm stepping into the story, and so will you. This is part of God's plan for bringing all of creation back to God's self through love and forgiveness. Baptism was and is part of being human, and Jesus' humanness is essential to the sweeping story. The people were being baptized in the thick, murky waters of the Jordan, and so too will Jesus, fully God, but maybe more so at this moment, fully human. Jesus insists on being one of the people, one of his own kind. So John, apparently not wanting to continue arguing with the Anointed One, he gives in. He baptizes Jesus, and as Jesus comes up from the dirty water, the heavens open wide and the Spirit of God rains down like a dove. A voice from the opened up heavens says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus is baptized, and God's first words to him are words of identity. "This man, this baptized Jesus, is my beloved," God says. "This is who he is now and who he will always be." His identity is beloved one, child of the living God. We've now entered the calendar year of the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. So it's especially fitting to kick off this year with attention to the sacrament of holy baptism. Martin Luther believed baptism is the starting place for the whole of the Christian life, and it is the grounding place for the daily walk of faith. It just so happens that Luther himself preached a few sermons on our gospel reading for today. In one sermon from 1534, he notes the way the water and the word are connected in today's scene from Matthew. Luther says, "The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all in the water. It is the bath water of Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the Father." And in another sermon on this text, Luther notes that Christ's baptism in this story is inextricably linked to our own baptism. In fact, he scolds anyone who places Christ's baptism on a lofty pedestal far above their own. Luther says, "You should by no means speak or think like this, as if because you are a sinner, you should despise or lightly esteem your baptism, as if it were not as glorious as Christ's baptism, or as if you refuse to accept Christ's baptism." See, there's that Lutheran humility, feeling bad about yourself or feeling bad about yourself. Luther continues, "You must come with your baptism into Christ's baptism, so that Christ's baptism is your baptism, and your baptism Christ's baptism, in every respect, one baptism." So to ask the Lutheran question, what does this mean? What does it mean to say that your baptism is Christ's baptism and vice versa? It means that Jesus insists on being part of the story of God's love for the whole world, and so too he insists on being part of the story of God's love for you. It means that Jesus dives into the dirty waters of the Jordan, and he dives into the dirty waters of our lives and our world. It means that when Jesus emerges from the water and the voice from heaven calls out to him, the voice from heaven also calls to you, giving you a new and eternal identity as God's beloved. Sometimes the other voices are so prevalent and so loud, the voices inside our own heads or the voices from the media, the voices saying your identity and your worth depend on your social media followers, or that your worth depends on where you sit in the school cafeteria or the clothes you wear, or the number of zeros on your paycheck or the square footage of your house. Sometimes the other voices say you're too fat or too skinny, you're a failure, you're not smart enough so you couldn't understand, or you're too smart and elitist. The voice is saying you're too weak, you're too old for this, or too young for that, you are your disease, or you are no better than your addiction. Sometimes the other voices are so loud, the voices telling us who we are, that we are anything but beloved. But this week, I'm hearing the gospel writer's voice from heaven as a booming voice, more like the voice from Psalm 29, a voice that breaks the cedars and flashes forth flames from fire. This is no still small voice. This voice is powerful and mighty. I imagine it not so much hovering over the waters, as the psalmist says, but creating waves in the waters, especially in the dirty waters. It's a booming voice that says, "This is my son, the beloved." And it's a booming voice that says to you in your baptism and today, "You are my child, the beloved." This voice says, "Don't you dare let anyone tell you you are anything but beloved." It's a voice so loud you can't hear the other voices. While Martin Luther was in exile at Wartburg Castle, he encountered demons in various forms, voices telling him he wasn't worthy of God's love and that his Reformation efforts were in vain. Legend has it that during especially dark times of his imprisonment, Luther could be heard screaming back at these forces, echoing around the castle walls, "I am baptized." Not "I was baptized," as in a one-time event that is over and done. "I am baptized," he would say. "This is my identity. This is who I am and who I always will be, one of God's beloved." In the face of voices telling him he was anything but beloved, Luther claimed the loud, booming voice from heaven, and so can we. Today and every day, we can claim the baptismal promise that we are beloved children of God. This is an enduring promise, one that doesn't fade with social media attention spans. It's a promise that doesn't change with changing bodies or life circumstances. This promise comes from the God who abounds in steadfast love for you and for all of God's world. This promise is the starting place for our Christian life and our daily walk of faith, just as it was for Martin Luther. This promise makes us beloved in the eyes of God and sends us into the world to share God's love. With baptism comes vocation, a call to share God's light in the dark places of our world, at home, at school, at work, or on social media, wherever we find ourselves in a world longing for love and light. You are a beloved child of God. May you remember this loud, booming promise and this call today and always. Amen.